Good morning. It is time to get up with Angry Aaron. Oh, what a press conference. You need to hear every word, and you will. And we'll tell you exactly what happens next. Then, the last thing the Cowboys can afford is an injury to the quarterback. But that's exactly what they have. We've got the very latest on Dak's arm. Plus, the stars continue to shine as we roll out the next Madden 99. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now. On a very busy Thursday, we're ready to roll with a ton of football conversation. Mike T is ready to go. Rob Ninkovich will join us as we continue. And in just a few minutes, Chris Canty is going to put Dan Graziano in a baby Bjorn and carry him around the studio, which we all think will be very wrong. But we begin today the only place we can, and that is Green Bay, Wisconsin. A day unlike any we can remember as Aaron Rodgers reported to Packers training camp, practiced with the team in the morning. Then after practice, Rodgers answering questions about his standoff with the organization and where they go from here.
I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was one I wanted to change moving forward. And I felt like based on my years, the way I can still play, that should be a natural part of the conversation. As that progressed from that point, nothing really changed on that front. So we got into March and the conversation changed. As I felt like, if you can't commit to me past 2021 and I'm not a part of recruiting process and free agency, if I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it. That obviously didn't happen, in my opinion, based on what I've accomplished in this league, the way I care about my teammates, the way I show up in the locker room, the way I lead, the way I conduct myself in the community. It should tie myself to a little bit more input. The rules, you know, are the same for most people, but every now and then there's some outliers. You know, guys who've been in an organization for 17 years and won a few MVPs, where they can be in conversations at a different higher level. I'm not asking for anything that other great quarterbacks across the last few decades have not gotten. You know, the opportunity to just be in conversation. You know, so if you're gonna cut a guy who, based on a meritocracy, was our second best receiver in training camp last year for the majority of camp, maybe run it by me. See what I feel. I might be able to change your mind. But at least to be in a conversation makes you feel like you're important, you're respected. I get it. It's a business. You know, I'm not a victim here. I've made a ton of money here, and I've been really fortunate to play a long time and to play here. At the same time, I'm still competitive, and I still feel like I can play. I proved it last year. So I felt like making a commitment past 2021 season was not a big deal. And there are ways to do that. That wasn't necessarily accomplished, and so that's why we're here.
We'll play more of that as the day continues. The candor was extraordinary, and all of the perspective that we will bring you here again is Rob Ninkovich and Mike Tannenbaum are with us, Chris Canty. But Dan Graziano, I will start with you because we have been covering this story now for several months, and I feel like everything you have been telling us on some level came to fruition in what he said yesterday.
Yeah, I think I said at one point that the problem is the Packers do business a certain way, and Aaron is upset that they won't change that for him. And that definitely came across in that news conference yesterday. So, I mean, look, he wants to be in the conversation when they make decisions about the roster. He wanted a commitment beyond 2021, which they weren't willing to give because they drafted Jordan Love last year, and they're planning to use him next year as the starting quarterback. And then if he didn't want that, he wanted out, but they weren't going to trade him because they need him this year. So Packer's going to Packer, and they continued to do it. So Aaron is now at a place where he said, look, I've made my peace with it to the extent that I need to. I'm going to be here this year, and then we'll see what happens. And, I thought it was stunning how much he actually offered.
Chris Canty is a person who played in the league a long time. What did you think?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to describe that press conference yesterday. Peaceful would not be one of them. I think Aaron Rodgers still feels a way about how Brian Gutekunst, their general manager, Bellinger has handled things, how the front office has handled him, along with how they mistreated other players. And I was impressed with the fact that Rodgers went up there with a list of players that he felt like the organization mistreated on their way out the door. I mean, he came with the receipts, and you have to respect that. You also have to respect the fact that Aaron Rodgers wants to have more influence in the organization, because he didn't tell any lies when he said that Green Bay wasn't a resort destination. It wasn't a vacation destination. It's not. Like, they're signing up to come play with him and come compete for championships. So while I understand how the Packers do business, I also understand that there's a way that NFL teams do business, especially when it comes to quarterbacks and allowing them to have some say-so. And I feel like the Packers, you know, they're playing a dangerous game right now with Aaron Rodgers. 2021, they're all signed up for. We'll see what happens after that.
Well, Lewis Riddick always says it's a relationship business. And one way or another, clearly, they allowed this relationship to get completely sideways. And Rodgers was extremely candid about it yesterday. Let me bring Rob Ninkovich into the conversation, who had some really fascinating perspective on this in our meeting this morning, particularly as it pertains to the experiences you had in another organization that's been even more successful, and that would be New England.
Yeah, and listen, when I listen to Rodgers and walk up to that podium and just be honest, that's what he was. He was brutally honest, and isn't that what we want? We want somebody to come up to the podium and just say exactly what happened. Usually, that's not the case. And unfortunately, Aaron Rodgers, just like every other player in the NFL, it's the hierarchy. It's the upper management. It's we have power over the players. You do what you're supposed to do, that's throw the football. You're the linebacker, go make tackles. We will make the decisions here. We'll cut the players we want to cut. We'll bring in the players we want to bring in. We're going to let go of the veterans that we want to let go because they're too old. And unfortunately for a lot of players, we have no say. And Aaron Rodgers, all he wanted was to be heard in him saying, listen, this is our best receiver last year. Why did we cut him? And I've been in such situations where, I think back to 2007, a team that was terrible in the Miami Dolphins. All I went up to the head coach and asked him was for some playing time. He looked at me and said, hey, we got the guys in here that we think are our best chance of winning. I looked at him and said, we're 0-10, right? So there are instances in the NFL where things are, they don't make sense, right? They don't make sense. And when you have those situations, in New England, Bill would always come up to me or a captain or a guy that he really respected and would say, hey, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of that? What do you think of this scheme? What do you think of that? And I think that there's the difference in certain organizations. They go to the beat of a different drum, and maybe that's why they're more successful, and other organizations never, ever get to a place where some are. And I do believe it's because of the way that they're run from the top down. And in this situation, we're clearly seeing that a Hall of Fame football player, all he wants is to be heard. And hey, listen to what I have to say. I'm pretty good, right? But then you have your people up in management that probably never stepped foot on a football field that say, oh, no, we got this. We're good. And you look at them like, what are you talking about, dude? You never played.
And so let me bring in one of those people, and that would be Mike Tannenbaum. And Mike, all kidding aside, viewed this yesterday. This was painted in many corners as Rodgers torches Gutekunst, and he will unquestionably be gone next year. But you, from the perch at which you sit, and again, you were the GM in two different places, you saw it differently from that.
Yeah, I saw it as an opportunity. First of all, I agree with most of what's been said, which is I thought Aaron Rodgers was pure, authentic. I was blown away by the attention and detail he had with no notes going back to Charles Woodson. But if I'm Brian Gutekunst, who, let's be fair here, has done a really good job. They've gone to back-to-back championship games. I now have the answers to the test moving forward. And what I mean by that specifically is when we get to the end of camp and say, hey, I'm thinking about keeping these five or six receivers. What do you think, Aaron Rodgers? And he pushes back a little bit. That gives me a better chance of keeping him in 2022, even if you don't agree with his suggestion.
Yeah, it is interesting. For the longest time, I feel like we've had people saying, I think it was Kimberly Martin who said on this show, Aaron, tell us what you want. Well, I always told them what he wants. It's up to them if they want to give it to him or not. A little later in this hour, we're going to play you a longer chunk, if you will, of that news conference yesterday, because again, the candor was about as remarkable as anything that we can remember seeing. So much more on Aaron Rodgers as we go. But now time for a wake-up call. This is from Rich Waltz with the Showtime wake-up call. Shohei Ohtani.
Ohtani, right field. and the Angels grab the lead.
Boy, and the fans are going nuts here. That's why they came to the ballpark, to see something special, and Shohei did it again.
I mean, the numbers that he's putting up are just ridiculous. So his home run now gives him 20 in his last 34 games. He's tied with David Ortiz for the third most home runs by a foreign-born player before August 1st. If he keeps this up, he's projected to end the season with 60. You see that Sammy Sosa is the only foreign-born player ever to do that. And did we mention he is also a dominating starting pitcher? All right, as we continue, Dak's ankle seems to be fine. His throwing shoulder might be another story. How concerned should we be for the Cowboys? We're talking about it. Plus, we've already revealed Devontae Adams, Travis Kelce, and Aaron Donald as the newest members of the Madden 99 Club. Who will join them today? You will find out next. And we invite you to vote on my poll question, which is brought to you by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. The question's a simple one. The answer's a little less simple. Which baseball team is under the most pressure to make a big move before the deadline? The Dodgers, the Mets, the Red Sox, to somebody else? At ESPN Greeny on Twitter. Cast your vote. We'll check in as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Pizza Hut. No one out-pizzas the Hut. Order today for contactless delivery, carryout, or curbside pickup. And we continue with this all week long on ESPN, unveiling the coveted player ratings for the video game Madden NFL 22. Every day here on Get Up, we've been revealing a new member of the 99 Club, which is reserved for the best of the best, the players who earn the top rating in the game, 99 overall. Our fourth member is the second Rams superstar to join the club. Here's Laura Rutledge.
He unloads left side and going airborne to intercept is Jalen Ramsey.
Imagine having to cover these guys and giving up 0 touchdowns and less than 100 yards combined. The 2-time first-team All-Pro is nearly impossible to scheme against.
Jalen Ramsey intercepted it right on cue.
He's dynamic in both man and zone coverages, and his ability to press is among the league's best.
It is knocked and picked off by Jalen Ramsey. Picked off by Jalen Ramsey.
He's rated 99 in man coverage, zone coverage, press, awareness, and play recognition. All the best among corners in this year's game. Representing the defensive backs, Jalen Ramsey.
And you can tune in to SportsCenter and NFL Live for exclusive Madden ratings reveals. And don't miss First Take Friday. Alex Smith will join the show to talk about the ratings. It's Madden Ratings Reveal Week all across ESPN. All right, we continue. This is not what Cowboy fans wanted to hear. Dak Prescott left yesterday's practice early with soreness in his right arm. That's his throwing arm. A team spokesperson said that Dak felt the soreness early in practice and, quote, did not want to push it. Here's Dak.
Just a little shoulder pain, a little shoulder soreness, I should say, and tightness. Felt it a little bit yesterday. Came out today, was going to work through it, and just felt I should be smart. I've got a long time to go, get a day of rest or so, and just get back at it. Didn't obviously want to push through something that could potentially make it worse, so everything's fine.
All right, he says everything's fine, and obviously we all hope that is the case. I turn to my reporter extraordinaire here, Dan Graziano. What do we hear out of Dallas?
They don't sound concerned, but if everything was fine, he'd be practicing, right? So there is something there. He's got an issue with his lat muscle, so, I mean, he's going to sit out, I would say, probably a couple of days. The key point is
he says he has plenty of time, and he does, right? I mean, the Cowboys started camp early because they have the Hall of Fame game next Thursday. So they have already gotten some work in as other teams are just getting started. So if he does have to miss a couple days, a week, whatever, he can probably get back on track in time for the season. But people I talked to there last night were not concerned. They echoed sort of what he was saying in his news conference, that it's precautionary and that they're not worried about it being a long-term issue. So we'll see.
The expectation is that he wouldn't have played in the Hall of Fame game regardless, whether he was fine, whether he had the shoulder issue or not. So Chris Canty, as a player, you see that happen. Is it a big deal?
No, that's a concern. I mean, the hopes and dreams of what the Dallas Cowboys hope to accomplish in 2021 rest on his shoulders, literally. And so when you have an injury to his throwing arm, it's something that makes you raise an eyebrow. I mean, Dak Prescott was supposed to be the piece that you know, when you insert him back onto this roster, you're talking about the Cowboys being a playoff contender, a team that could win the NFC East. So, yeah, I have to be concerned about it, you know, missing opportunities to get him back into football shape, to get him acclimated to making football movements and football situations. I just feel like that's the true value in preseason practices for Dak Prescott. Coming back from that surgically repaired ankle, you want him to try to build some confidence in that so he can get past that final hurdle in that rehab process. Missing any opportunities to do that in training camp, I feel like that's something that takes away from this. But listen, I'm not saying it's time to panic, but there should be some concern about where Dak Prescott is right now.
Rob Ninkovich, what do you think?
Canty, you know this. Go get some Tiger Balm, a little BioFreeze. Rub that thing on there. Get that shoulder good, a little ice pack. Go out to the practice field. Grab some of that Texas dirt. Rub some dirt on it. He's going to be fine. I'm not worried about it. Look, it's a little soreness. Come on, a little soreness here or there. He's going to have soreness. He hasn't played in a year. He's going to be all right.
All right. So that's – you know what that is? That's how a linebacker approaches an injury to a quarterback. That's exactly what you just heard.
And Nico's on fire, right? Like, if you're hurt, rub some dirt on it. The front office guys are nerds. Players should run the whole league. I mean, I think Rob's out of the box hot today.
You know? But the reality of it is, try and find anything wrong in anything that he just said.
Well, they're in California, not Texas.
That's the one,
if we're doing.
Oh, sorry. They got to send somebody back for some Texas dirt. All right.
That's well said. All right, Rob, again, we will keep a close eye and ear on the Cowboys training camp. The expectation is not that this is significant, but you never know. Meanwhile, this certainly is. Baseball's trade deadline is tomorrow afternoon, but the Yankees have already stolen the show yesterday as they acquire Rangers outfielder Joey Gallo in exchange for 4 minor leaguers. Let me give you some numbers. At the plate this year, Gallo has 25 home runs, is a much better OPS than the collective Yankee outfield. Defensively, he has saved 14 runs, which is the most of any player, and 20 more than the Yankees outfield, which is below zero. And this is Robert Stanberry, only the third. All right, Buster, so the Yankees make the first blockbuster move here. They get their man in Joey Gallo. Give us specifically what he does that they so desperately needed.
Yeah, Greeny, he checks so many boxes on paper for the Yankees. First and foremost, a left-handed hitter for that very right-handed lineup. He's going to help with the balance there. He's someone, obviously, with big power. That's going to fit Yankee Stadium, which is so friendly for left-handed hitters. High on base percentage. And he is a phenomenal athlete, despite the fact he's 6'5 and 230. He moves well. He gives him versatility in terms of where he could play, perhaps left field, perhaps first base, maybe even center field if that's the direction they want to go. Two concerns for me. One, he's a big swing and miss guy. And two, like a lot of big stars going into New York for the first time, you do wonder how he's going to handle when inevitably he gets booed in Yankee Stadium.
All right, well, we will see the second part. The big swing and miss guy means he'll fit very well into that lineup one way or the other. All right, I kid. So now they've done a very good job of building the drama for us here. We are basically a day and a half away from the trade deadline. Give me 3 teams as we run the bases that desperately need to make a move before tomorrow afternoon.
Number one, the New York Mets. The fans' expectations have been extremely high since Steve Cohen took over as owner there. This is his first trade deadline, and the fan base is looking for a big name to land with the Mets by 4 p.m. on Friday. Chris Bryant is someone to watch for. They've had conversations with the Cubs about him. The Los Angeles Dodgers need pitching help, Greeny. And we've seen them 2 games behind the San Francisco Giants. Now, is that going to be Max Scherzer, who would have to approve a trade to the Los Angeles Dodgers? Or could it possibly be Craig Kimbrell? I had a general manager the other day tell me he thinks the Dodgers will swoop in at the last moment and grab Kimbrell and maybe Scherzer because they're great at those last-minute deals. And the Boston Red Sox, who have a clear need at first base, and Anthony Rizzo fits perfectly. They need a left-handed hitter for their lineup. He's an excellent defensive player, and of course, he's got all of that experience playing in October. It would be Anthony Rizzo going back to an organization that drafted him, and they're also out in market, Greeny, looking for bullpen help.
Yeah, and you see the selling of the Cubs. Three of the four names you see on their screen there would be coming from Chicago. Buster, going to be a very busy day and a half. We'll check back in. Thanks. And it brings us back to the poll question today again, which is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. And we asked you, which contender is under the most pressure at the trade deadline? And so far, you say the New York Mets. Buster mentioned that. You see the Dodgers, the Red Sox, and other teams. Again, the trade deadline is tomorrow afternoon, and our poll question is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. All right, as we continue, more from Aaron Rodgers, venting in a way you've never seen or heard before. But there was one answer he gave yesterday that changed everything, and you will hear what that was next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Every morning you get up with us, but this Friday we will get you up to date with the biggest stories in sports at a special time, 4:30 Eastern on ESPN. We'll be live at Cowboys and Packers training camps. We'll have all the details from what could be a crazy baseball trade deadline and look ahead at the biggest names in the NBA free agent market. It's Get Up twice on Friday, our normal time of 8 Eastern, then 4:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN. So that is for tomorrow, but yesterday it was Aaron Rodgers taking center stage with an extraordinarily candid press conference and perhaps one of the most detailed answers anyone has ever given. Rodgers took reporters through the timeline of his offseason. It was the first question here was asked. Here is his answer in its entirety.
What was this all about for you?
That's kind of a loaded question. I think, you know, there was a lot of things that transpired. This wasn't, a draft day thing, you know. This was started with a conversation in February at the season ended. And I just expressed, you know, my desire to be more involved in conversations that directly affected my job. I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, T.J. Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys. Many of them who weren't offered a contract at all or were extremely lowballed or were, you know, maybe in my opinion, not given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved. And then it kind of progressed from there into a commitment for the 2021 season and beyond. That really wasn't given at any time. So for me, I had to assess the situation not necessarily wanting to be a lame duck quarterback, especially after an MVP season, which I think you can understand. And then the other part in February was wanting to be a part of conversations involving free agents, which has never happened in my career. You know, I've trained with a number of NFL guys most of my career in the off seasons. My agency, Athletes First, has had a number of high draft picks over the years. I've tried to pass along information. Hasn't really been used, shall we say. So I wanted to offer up my services as a recruiter, you know. And I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't, you know, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was one I wanted to change moving forward. And I felt like based on my years, the way I can still play, that should be a natural part of the conversation. As that progressed from that point, nothing really changed on that front. So we got into March and the conversation changed. As I felt like, if you can't commit to me past 2021 and I'm not a part of recruiting process and for agency, if I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it. That obviously didn't happen. Like I said, it wasn't a draft day thing. There were conversations for a number of months leading up to that. Post the draft, I think what basically happened was then they said, you know, we'll give you some money now. Let's see if we can throw some money at you. I said from the start it wasn't about the money. Obviously, I didn't show up for the off-season program or mini camp. To me, it was bigger than this. It was about trying to be a resource for the organization that I care about and love so much. So when the money came at me, the other part is, the backstory to that is, you know, after the season, there was a part of me that did think that there would be conversation about an extension. You know, based on my cap number this season, next season, it seemed natural based on the way I played to at least have a conversation about it. It wasn't a conversation. Not until into May. And that to me seemed like an analogy that you guys understand. You guys have a fantastic year at work. You write some great stories. You go to your boss and say, I just had an incredible year. I think I deserve a pay raise or, you know, some security. And the boss says, yeah, let's just see how it goes. A couple months down the line, you get another job opportunity. You go back to your boss and say, hey, I got this amazing job opportunity. And say, whoa, no, we love you. We want you to. We do want you to stick around. We do care about you. Just have the same feeling, you know. And so, you know, I said it wasn't about the money, and the way that felt, you know, kind of just doubled down on that. Nothing really changed throughout the summer. There were some developments in the last week or so, but you know, I was really working on myself and my own mental state throughout the summer, and. At various points deciding if I wanted to even keep playing. But, you know, the fire still burns, and I wanted to be on a football team. And we got some things figured out in the last few days, and I'm here.
That was the answer to the first question that Aaron Rodgers was asked yesterday. And as I'm sure you're aware, it went from there, and it was that sort of remarkably candid afternoon, the sort of thing that those of us who cover sports or anything so rarely get to experience. And Dan Graziano, you know that well. So as we sit here and try and figure out what angles or which angles we should use to approach this, let's use it from a future angle. He does not sound like a person right now. While he may be at peace with the idea of playing there for another season, he doesn't sound like a person who views this as a longer-term proposition. People around the league, what do they expect to happen?
I think there's an expectation he'll be elsewhere next year. But, you know, listening to that news conference, he left the door open to the possibility that's not the case. And I think that one thing that really came out of that whole thing yesterday was, you know, he's decided he's going to be a grown-up about this, right? He didn't get everything he wanted. If he wanted to be elsewhere, he's not elsewhere. If he wanted more say in decisions, front office decisions, it doesn't sound like he thinks he's going to get that. He showed up anyway to go to work and try and win the Super Bowl. So I think that
looking forward, I believe the alteration to the contract will include his ability to get out next year if he wants to. But he may not want. What if they win the Super Bowl, right? What if everybody's feeling? I think he left open that possibility. He talked about it later in the news conference. So I think there's an expectation that he'll be moved next spring. But I think if it's 95% instead of 100, I find that interesting.
Well, so there was part of what he said that was obviously aimed in the direction of the Packers front office. There's another part of what he said, and as he ran through the list of, I guess, somewhat legendary former Packers in that conversation, that I have to believe is going to play very well in his locker room.
No doubt about it. I mean, if you're a player in that Packers locker room, you love the fact that Aaron Rodgers is going to bat for guys that aren't even a part of the organization anymore. I mean, they're not a part of the club, and this is Aaron Rodgers being candid, being transparent, going after the front office. If you're in that locker room right now as a Packers player, it gives you a lot of confidence that your quarterback, the guy that's supposed to be leading you, is going to stand up to whatever the issues that you're going to have, including forces in the organization that might not be taking the team where you guys feel they need to go. Greeny, these are the conversations that happen all the time in locker rooms, but players are afraid to speak to publicly just because they don't have the clout. But Aaron Rodgers coming off of an MVP season, knowing the position that the franchise is in, knowing that Jordan Love probably isn't ready to play, like, he took that opportunity to stand up for the things that he feels like are wrong within the organization, and that includes the mistreatment of players, both past and present.
Yes, and that's the point, is that he used some of that collateral that he has to stand up for others and not just things that serve his own purposes. And so, Mike Tannenbaum, let me come to you, because it sounds like he's saying that he feels other star players of his stature are given some level of input that he has not had. In your experience as a GM in two different places, and you've worked with some of the most legendary football people of recent memory, Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, to name just a few, in your experience, what level of input do the star players usually have on an NFL team?
They have meaningful input. And when we were going through our coaching search in Miami, Ryan Tannehill met with some of the candidates. We did it in a very quiet and discreet way, but candidly, I thought Ryan was one of the reasons the job was attractive. And again, we were clear, you're not making the decision, but you could give us input that we simply couldn't see. And in the past, be it LaDainian Tomlinson, Brett Favre, Jason Taylor, even guys like Bart Scott, we wanted information from them because they could help make us better, give us information we simply didn't have. You know, Aaron Rodgers had talked about Jordy Nelson wanting to take a pay cut, and he had more information than the agent would have ever have told Green Bay. So I thought the information that Aaron Rodgers was talking about was actionable and could have made him better. And more importantly, Greeny, moving forward, this is an opportunity for Green Bay to bring Aaron Rodgers in closer and hopefully keep him.
Yeah, again, because as to Graziano's point at the beginning, he didn't completely slam shut the door on his all-time future in Green Bay. We'll see where it winds up going from here. We'll have more of that as we go. But meantime, speaking of legendary quarterbacks, we just wanted to show you this because it's just so much fun. Patrick Mahomes in practice, he's already started with the no-look passes. Just look at this. Now, I want to show it to you again. The defensive back trailing the play is Tre'Davious Ward, and I just want you to see his reaction after this play is completed. Look at him. He says, I can't believe that just happened. What is that body language saying to you?
That's saying that he's desperate. There's no way that he can stop them. That's an impossible throw. Pat Mahomes layering it between the second and third levels of the defense, right on the money, in stride to Tyreek Hill. I mean, there's no way you can play a defense on that. You can't defense that. It's the perfect throw from Pat Mahomes, but we're used to seeing him do that.
Is there anything, Graziano, in the entire sport more entertaining to watch than Patrick Mahomes with a no-look throw?
No, it's incredible. And he does this in practice. You talk to people with the Chiefs. Like, he does this all the time in practice. It's almost as if practice would be too easy for him otherwise. And so he has to work on all this stuff that that you see come out in those cool, special moments in the game.
It's as good as it gets. So the quarterbacks are already in mid-season form, and we're talking a lot about them as our morning continues, including coming up, load management in Tampa and a side of Tom Brady that we haven't seen, but his coach loves, and it might just make Aaron Rodgers jealous. Find out what all this is about next. Get Up on ESPN.
Pa-
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back, and we are 6 weeks to the day from the start of the NFL season. The Cowboys and Bucks will open things in Tampa. And after practicing early in the week, Tom Brady and other Tampa veterans took yesterday off for a little load management. And their coach, Bruce Arians, says he put Brady to work in a different capacity.
I think Tom's very, very comfortable in our locker room and with our coaches and our fans. And, I think that's that personality is showing more and more. And I love seeing it, you know. And I told him driving in today, so put your coaching hat on. This is a coaching day for you. And, you know, when he can sit back and watch, he sees a lot of things that he didn't see playing and can coach those other guys up. So it's a win-win situation.
That is interesting. Rob Ninkovich, longtime Tom Brady teammate with a different coach. What was your reaction to that?
My reaction is Bruce Arians could put on his hat like this, right? He's got his hat. He could throw his glasses on like this, right? Right? He can sit really there. Good. He can look at his ring. He's got a ring on his finger. He's he's doing this, right? He's sitting back. Hey, Tom, you got the team today, okay, Tom? I'm just going to relax. I'm going to manage from this. I'm going to manage from a distance. I'm going to manage from the golf cart, okay? I'm going to hydrate over here. I'm going to look at my ring that I just got. Wow, is that nice? And, if I go back to my office, I might hang out for a while. I'll be back in a little bit. You got the team, all right, Tom? You got the team. You got the reins. Here you go. You got the keys. Have fun. I'll be back here hanging out. Love you, Tommy. Thanks for coming last year, baby. Let's go.
Very well done, Nate. Very well done. And Bruce is a man who's been known to hydrate a little bit one way or another. But here's the one thought that I did have. Chris Canty, I'll come to you. Mm. Is for that to happen on the same day, for him to say, oh, yeah, I let Tom coach the team sometimes, on the same day that Aaron Rodgers gets up there and bares his soul about how the team does not want to hear anything from him besides him doing his job. That did not feel like a coincidence to me.
No, it didn't feel like a coincidence. And B.A. has been known to take a shot or two like that toward people around the National Football League. And then keeping in mind how that NFC Championship game ended, where Aaron Rodgers wished that sequencing and the play calling might have been a little bit different once that team got in the red area late in that game. So maybe this is B.A. taking a subtle jab at him, but hey, listen, you can understand them giving Tom Brady a couple of days off throughout the course of the preseason. The guy's going to be 44 years old next week.
I think it's fun to think about it as is it a jab? I don't think these guys watch a lot of other teams' press conferences, even as significant as Rodgers, but I think Bruce Arians and Tom Brady are extremely comfortable in their relationship. By the way, we did a lot of talking about last year.
Sure.
Are they, right? Are they getting along? They're obviously extremely comfortable in their relationship, and the setup there in Tampa Bay is working, and I think Bruce Arians is enjoying it. It doesn't have to be at anyone else's expense.
Right. But I think fairly or not, the conventional wisdom is it started working last year when Bruce Arians did exactly what Ninko was talking about. Mm-hmm. Sort of got out of the way and said, here, Tom, you tell me what the offense should be. And they ran Tom Brady's offense, the Tampa Tom offense. And, of course, they rode it all the way to the Super Bowl and might even get better this year. One way or another, we will see. Much more football as we go. But this is an enormous day leading into an enormous night in the NBA, because it's the NBA draft, and our Jonathan Givony's mock draft has USC's Evan Mobley going number 3. to Cleveland. He was the Pac-12 freshman and player of the year last year, so he's the projected third pick in this draft. At number two is Jalen Green to the Houston Rockets. He spent last year in the G League, where he averaged nearly 18 points a game, shot 37% from three. And then at number one, everyone is expecting it to be Oklahoma State star Cade Cunningham going to Detroit. He averaged over 20 points a game in his lone season in Stillwater. He was the Big 12 Player of the Year. And obviously, if we're talking about the draft, we have to talk to this man. There is Jay Billis with an absolutely epic T-shirt ready to go this morning. And so all eyes will be on Cunningham tonight, Jay. And for folks who haven't seen a lot of him playing, just what makes this kid special? How good is he on the next level?
Well, he's potentially great, all-star caliber, all-NBA, and he is truly a complete player. And with all the boxes that you check off, he checks literally every single one. He's 6'8 as a point guard, can really handle it, 7'1 wingspan. He's a very good defender and has a clutch gene. Shoots over 40% from three, can shoot it off the dribble, can get by people, drive to the basket and finish. He can also post up when he gets a favorable matchup. There's really nowhere on the floor that he can't be effective. And Mike Schmitz, who I think is the best talent evaluator out there, has likened him to Luka Doncic. But he's actually a better defender than Doncic. Better on the ball, better off the ball. I think he's the real deal, and I think he's going to go number one. I happen to think it's a no-brainer selection. In a draft, Greeny, that's as deep and talented as any draft since 2003 when LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo, and Chris Bosh came out.
All right, so that's high praise for a group of players whose names will be called tonight. So give me one or two more that a fan should be extremely excited when they hear that player's name called with their team. Like one or two guys you think that might not be right at the top that people should be very excited about.
Well, you've already mentioned, you know, Jalen Green and Evan Mobley, who I think are great, potentially great players. Jalen Suggs of Gonzaga. But one to look for a little bit further down is Moses Moody of Arkansas. Moody is 6'6", has a 7'1 wingspan. Gets to the free throw line. He's an outstanding scorer, and I think he's going to get even better as a defender. He's a gritty defender now playing at Arkansas, but I think he's going to be even better. He fits the suit in the NBA, and I think he's going to be a truly outstanding player. Can shoot it from deep, mid-range, but his ability to get to the rim and initiate contact and get to the free throw line, I think, translates very well. And then I think Davion Mitchell of Baylor is an underrated player. I've got him ranked, frankly, in the top five because of his on-ball defensive ability. He can really guard the ball. And I just don't think there's any way he fails in the NBA. No way.
All right, so we're looking forward to that tonight. Pardon me, it's 8 Eastern tonight on ESPN and ABC. Meantime, this draft comes at sort of a tumultuous moment in the world of college sports, and I couldn't have you on here and not get your perspective on that. With the very real possibility slash likelihood that Texas and Oklahoma are going to move to the SEC, almost all of the conversation has been about the impact on college football. How would you expect all of this realignment to impact college basketball?
Well, it's a secondary concern, as you know. Football runs college sports, and that's fine. I get that. But this is all about consolidation of power and pulling money and markets to these specific conferences. And the SEC is the leader in all that. I mean, they're going to be a multi-billion dollar conference going forward. So that's a lot of money for each conference member. So I think gaining entry into leagues like that, you're going to see power consolidated. And you're going to see the top teams playing only each other going forward. And I think we're going to see that in basketball as well. That's the way this is going to be. You know, the top powers are going to start playing each other. And look, I floated the idea. I did it years ago, but nobody paid attention. For some reason, it's getting traction now. Of if I were the SEC and the ACC, I'd merge. And I'd form essentially the NFL and the NBA. And have a 32-team conference, you'd essentially only have to play each other, and it would be the dominant force in the college sports landscape. Mm.
We could be heading towards super conferences one way or the other. We'll see where it winds up going. Again, we will see you tonight, Jay. Outstanding as always. I love the T-shirt. I love the Johnny Bravo reference. I love it all. Jay Billis and company tonight for the 75th annual NBA draft from Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Again, Cade Cunningham should be the first name called, and then It will get interesting. It's 8 Eastern tonight on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app. All right, coming up here, what happens now in Green Bay after Aaron Rodgers airs every single one of his grievances? Plus, was he right in what he said? We've got all the answers as we get up on ESPN.